names. Mr. Brown, Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Blue, Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink.
Why am I Mr. Pink?
Because you're a faggot, all right?
Why can't we pick our own colors?
No way, no way. Tried it once, it doesn't work. You get four guys all fighting over who's going to be Mr. Black. But they don't know each other, so nobody wants to back down. No way. I pick. You're Mr. Pink. Be thankful you're not Mr. Yellow.
Yeah, but Mr. Brown, that's a little too close to Mr. Shit.
Well, Mr. Pink sounds like Mr. Pussy. How about if I'm Mr. Purple? I mean, that sounds good to me. I'll be Mr. Purple.
You're not Mr. Purple. Some guy on some other job is Mr. Purple. You're Mr. Pink.
Who cares what your name is?
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're Mr. White. You have a cool-sounding name. All right, look, if it's no big deal to be Mr. Pink, you want to trade?
Hey, nobody's trading with anybody. This ain't a goddamn fucking city council meeting, you know. Now listen up, Mr. Pink. There's two ways you can go on this job. My way or the highway. Now what's it gonna be, Mr. Pink?
Jesus Christ, Joe, fucking forget about it. It's beneath me, you know. I'm Mr. Pink, let's move on.
I'll move on when I feel like it. You always got the goddamn message? So goddamn mad, Howard, you guys can hardly talk. Let's go to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your friendly Pinhead 198 back with another episode. And on this, we're going to be a little more lighthearted than the last one because we had to talk about some serious nasty shit that I didn't really want to talk about. And I know there's more allegations coming out. We have the Ashley Mazzaro. I'm not getting into that, though. I'm not talking about Vince McMahon anymore and all the shit he's done. He's human garbage. That has been known for years, and I don't understand why, even if you're the biggest fanboy out there, I don't understand how any group, and there are some, that are defending McMahon, especially when we have the Ashley Mazzaro shit that's happening recently. You can look it up for yourself, and that was back in, if I'm not mistaken, 2009. So there's a lot of dirty shit going on, and I'm just not willing to discuss it. But on this episode, what we will discuss is the three-body problem, the adaptation versus the Chinese version on Peacock, which is far more accurate. It's Netflix, so don't have to see it. Plus, we'll be talking about the Dune 2 reactions. Critics have seen it. The embargo has lifted, and we'll look at some of the fucking fuckboys who don't even know the source material, but they're happy about how great this film is. After that, we'll do a review on Night Swim. I'll talk about that. And I'm going to go over how abysmal, because I didn't really get to articulate my points on the Filmmaker Mike and the Boys podcast. Excuse me. We're going to go over the abysmal fourth season that is True Detective, and because it's coming to its end on Sunday, the finale's on Sunday, and boy, what a treat that shit has been. I tell you, I'd rather skip rocks across the fucking pond. That's far more exciting than what we got with True Detective this whole season, but we'll get into that when we get there. First things first, we're going to talk about Dune and all these fucking losers. You know, I don't trust critics as far as I can throw them, so this doesn't mean fuck all to me, but, you know, further continuing to prove that human people are human garbage, but I don't care what critics have to say, but we'll go over it anyway and see what the ballyhoo is. So let's see. Dune Part 2's first reactions praise Denis Villeneuve's spectacle sequel jaw-dropping and amazing, the greatest sci-fi movie ever. I don't think so. I don't have to say it to know that it's not going to be the greatest sci-fi movie. If they didn't retcon some of the shit in the book, it would have been. But he's already admitted he'd retcon some of the shit, so fuck him. Dune Part 2 is damn impressive. Villeneuve crafts some truly visionary moments. Austin Butler gives a truly transformative performance, and not talking about the makeup either. Very moving ending. A wee bit long, yes. Did I forget? I saw it the next day. Yeah, still gonna be massive. That's Gregory Elwood of The Playlist. Dune Part 2 is a triumph even more immense than the first, but much more intimate. Denis Villeneuve managed to streamline the more alienating second halves of the books into a riveting, action-packed, epic two-tower-level mastery of battle sequences. Zendaya is the star. I highly doubt it, especially if you did what he said, which is streamline the more alienated second half of the book, which involves a lot of her character. So I highly doubt it, but good try, asshole. Next. In a shock to no one, I absolutely loved Dune Part 2. Incredible filmmaking, brilliant score, entire cast was excellent. My only complaint was I wish it was longer. Yeah, so do a lot of people that enjoyed the book. Not joking around, the movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes, and I would have been happy to watch another hour. Yeah, you guys didn't have no problem with Oppenheimer. You gave that 12 nominations at the Oscars. That's 3 hours. But you'll bitch about Dune being too long. You didn't have no problem with Martin Scorsese's new movie being 3 hours and 25 minutes, but you'll bitch about Dune being... That's why I talk about humans being so fucking stupid and useless. You can't make up your fucking mind. You're brain dead. Next. I was kind of mixed on the first Dune. Dune Part 2 is phenomenal. Up there with the great sci-fi movies I've ever seen. I want to ride a sandworm. I wish you'd get eaten by one. Fucking losers. Dune Part 2 is a gigantic epic, a masterclass of craft from Greg Fraser's exceptional photography, if I can talk, to Patrice Vertiment's magnificent world-building. Denis Villeneuve has delivered his magnum opus, directing one of the best sci-fi films for a generation to come. And I didn't have any doubt, even though I give two fucks about this second part of this movie, because it won't live up to the book. I already can see through the trailers, which it doesn't have to necessarily do, but when you retcon, and we'll get into that with the three-body problem, because the fuckwits over at Game of Thrones, those showrunners, they don't know any better, so we'll get into their extreme retconning of the three-body problem. But when you're taking ideals away from the lore just to make it accessible for a main... Fuck the mainstream audience. On this point, I'll be that snob. I don't care. And same with three-body problem. It's not for you. Don't make it for them then. It's not for the mass audience. This isn't a fucking Marvel movie. This isn't DC. This isn't Star Wars. If they can't accept what's in the book and the complexities of some of the shit that needs to be in the movie that you took out from the book, then fuck them. They're too brain dead to be going to movies in the first place. If you can't sit down and stay away from your phone for 2:45 to 3 hours, if that's too much for you, then maybe you shouldn't be at the fucking movieplex in the first place. Stay home. Stay on your fucking TikToks and your Instagrams. Stay on your fucking YouTube and Facebook if you're still using that shit, because I don't know very many that do, especially with TikTok running amok. Give me a fucking break. You losers, stay home. And the rest of us who actually enjoy art will go see this. I'm so sick of catering to the fucking Marvel brain deads. It gets old. Do a couple more and then we'll move on. This is so stupid. People who never even know what the fucking source material is. This is what I texted the foremost Dune head in my life, my dad, yesterday after watching Dune Part 2. I'm in a full front for this thing. It's even better than the first, and I love that one. So you're giving an opinion of your dad who's probably far smarter than you are, because he's actually, to your admission, read the fucking sources material of all the books if he's a Dune head. So we're getting to the point, Katie Walsh, that we can't even form our own opinions. We got to take opinions from our dad and put that out as a review as a critic. This is the fucking laziest shit. This is why I can't stand critics. They're inept at their fucking jobs. Dune Part 2. Dune 2 is, we'll do one more, is jaw-dropping, breathtaking, and wildly exhilarating. It's an adrenaline rush to the head and heart, soaring in its spectacle-driven action sequences as much as it sings in its refined, evocative stillness. Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya turn in singular work. Yeah, I highly doubt that with Zendaya. Once again, Dune Part 2. Well, at least Javier Bardem was having fun, so was that a negative review? See, you critics are fucking brain dead. And we'll end with that because it's just pissing me off. These critics are fucking stupid. Especially the ones that are praising how great True Detective is and it's a return to form. Are you fucking high on meth? Seriously. And we'll get to that in a minute. While we're on adaptations, we might as well just move into the three-body problem. So, let's make sure we get it right, because Game of Thrones producers already making big promises about the ending of new series, three-body problem. That's not the article I want, but we'll go with that. See if I can find it. We'll go with two articles. One, we'll go with the 2-3-body problem adaptations. I think that was the one from Vulture. Yes, there are 2-3-body problem adaptations. For you, for those that are not in the initiated, three-body problem is a sci-fi, a very complex sci-fi novel from someone, a young man named Sinjin Liu. I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but at this point, I don't fucking care. Fuck the human race. So we're here with the three-body problem adaptations, and they're going to talk about the two. You don't have to wait to see Liu Xinjiang. It's not Liu Xinjiang. I can't say his name right, but I know that is what his name is. You guys need to start vetting these articles before you put them out. Fuck, this is not that hard. You do not have to wait to see Xinjiang Liu's sci-fi novel, The Three-Body Problem, turned into TV. Does that mean Netflix is moving up the release date of Three Body Problem? No, it's upcoming adaptation from Alexander Wu and the creators of Game of Thrones. That's still scheduled for March 21st. But if you're okay with overcoming that one-inch barrier of subtitles, yeah, if you're not a complete brain-dead fucking moron who can read, you're not an illiterate piece of fucking human garbage, you should be okay. Another version is actually already available. Three Body, a Chinese adaptation from Tencent, aired in China last year. As of publication time, it remains available to stream on Who Cares and Prime Video, and per The Hollywood Reporter, it's on the cock. Peacock has now acquired the right to the Three Body Problem for a February 10 drop. This article must be old because it's already out. Just in time for Lunar New Year. NBC Universal isn't hiding the fact that the timing is tied to its rival streamer. A press release states, with all the buzz surrounding Netflix's English adaptation, we're excited about the opportunity for sci-fi and Chinese drama fans to watch the Chinese language original with English subtitles ahead of the Hollywood adaptation. Naturally, these two adaptations have their differences. Yeah, we're neutering the fucking Netflix one. For example, Tencent used 30 episodes to cover the contents of the book, while Netflix will use just 8 episodes. I wonder why that is. While that seems to suggest that it won't be as faithful to the plot, you think? There's at least one aspect you can expect to see more of in Netflix take. Drake Tsang, who directed the first two, Derek Tsang, who directed the first two episodes, previously told THR that Three Body Problem incorporates parts, the key word, parts of the book.
that were set in the Cultural Revolution. And that's the problem right there. They don't want to talk about the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Because of, you know, heaven forbid we learn from fucking history. Tencent version is contrast has faced criticism for not showing as much as the real-life period of upheaval and eliminating plot points involving the Red Guard, which problem will fans prefer? We bet Netflix and Peacock are both excited for the answer. We already know what the answer is. The answer is the people who have no brains are going to choose the Netflix version because we have a McDonald's mentality in this country. Whether it be, it has to be fast, quick, and disgusting for us. Rather it be music, movies, television, video games, art, even books now. It's got to be a McDonald's mentality. And that's what the majority of people who watch Netflix are. McDonald's mentality. I want it quick. I want it now. And I want it, you know, some of us want a Flamin' Yawn or some shrimp scampi once. No, you're getting McDonald's all the fucking time. Hey, I like McDonald's. Them chicky nuggies, I like them too. But McDonald's every fucking day of the week, all month, all year. It's fucking bad for you. It's bad for the body. It's bad for the brain. And I don't understand why, especially in this country, that is such a hard thing to comprehend anymore. Because we're fucking stupid. And it leads us to Game of Thrones producers already making big promises about the ending of new series, Three Body Problem. And this kicks off right off the problem right here. Despite Game of Thrones' controversial final season, it wasn't controversial, it was just shit. D.B. Wise and David Benioff are projecting confidence in their ability to bring the ending of, again, Lou Sinjin. What is this shit where you guys not, it's Sinjin Lou. Remembrance of Earth past trilogy. At least you got the fucking trilogy right. God, you guys need to vet these. Like, you do this and then you send it out. No spell check, none of it. When you are a fucking writer of articles on a major publication, that is your fucking job. I'm sorry, but that just annoys the hell out of me when you don't do your job. You shouldn't be in the position that you're doing. Let's continue. The source material for the duo's new three-body problem Netflix series to life, Wise and Benioff spoke to Empire about developing their first live-action project since Game of Thrones concluded. Like Game of Thrones, three-body problem adapts a complex work of prose fiction with a large cast of big ideas. The only difference is, unlike Fat Fuck, Sinjin Liu finished his series of books. So, that's just a side note. Though at three books, the story is significantly shorter than A Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah, especially considering Song of Ice and Fire is not completed. That Game of Thrones adapted, Wise and Benioff also have the advantage this time around of the source being complete. Exactly. With a known ending for theme to work towards, and from convincing Netflix to let them reach the point may be the bigger challenge. Honestly, the ending of the third book, Death's End, is one of my favorite endings of any giant sagas of all time. You can't even write properly. I don't believe you read the fucking series. Honestly, the ending of the hardest thing is always the first season. Can we justify the big investment from Netflix? I feel like this will grow as it grows. I'm hopeful. Despite the backlash that the final Game of Thrones series sparked, Wise and Benioff did not shy away from the idea of taking on another series similar in scale. The feeling that is maybe too much was familiar for us, says Wise. It was what we felt with Thrones, in conjunction with a tremendous amount of excitement over the possibilities of where it could go if we could get it off the ground. It was the terror of the magnitude of what was in front of us. If you're not afraid, you're doing something wrong. We're not going to go on what Three Body Problem is about. And it's why you're going to watch the show. Either one. Who cares about the cast? And they've already said that they're neutering this damn thing quite significantly so that it can be accessible to a mainstream audience. And once again, we're going back to appeasing the fucking mainstream audience drones. The Marvel people. The Star Wars people. You know, I have some friends that are into that shit, and you know what? Fuck them. Leave them out. Let them enjoy their Marvel and Star Wars. Let them enjoy McDonald's. Okay? Some of us don't want McDonald's. Shit, some of us, if we can't have a high luxury meal, we'd rather have Wendy's or Burger King. But we always got to go back to McDonald's, so. And I hate to be, I know I sound like a snob and it's going to turn a lot of people off, but it's what it is. I'm tired of not having anything of thought-provoking note anymore. You can only keep going back to old books for so fucking long. Like, let us have something once in a while. You guys have your McDonald's Mondays every day of the week throughout the entire fucking year. They've only now because of the fatigue, and you can say it's not fatigue all you want and bullshit yourself and look in the mirror and try and pretend that it ain't fatigue. It fucking is. People have had enough. But before the fatigue, you were getting 10, 20 movies a year of this shit. Then people got tired of it. They got tired of eating McDonald's for a while. And I was proud of the human race. I kind of am still because they're only sloughing out two or three of these this year. From both companies. People are getting a little worn out on McDonald's. It's a good sign. It's the only reason, I know it sounds like I hate it, but it's the only reason why I hope Dune Part 2 is an immense success. Because it's a thinking man's Star Wars. Anything it came before, if it wasn't for fucking Frank Herbert and Asimov, most of y'all wouldn't fucking have careers. You included, George. You include Mr. Lucas. You included Spielberg. All y'all wouldn't have fucking careers if it wasn't for this, these two men. So, I don't want to hear about the revolution of George Lucas and him and the Star Wars and all this bullshit. I don't want to hear about Kevin Feige. These two were Kevin Feige and George Lucas before they were fucking swimming around in their daddy's sack. So, and that includes George Lucas, who is an old man. So, I don't want to hear it. And I'm tired of it. So it's time to move on. I hope Dune beats the shit out of everybody. And then they have no choice but to enslave Denny into making Dune Messiah. Because that's going to be real depressing. Because a lot of y'all ain't going to come out of the theater, especially after you had so much fun with Dune Part 2. A lot of y'all, especially those who know that have read Dune Messiah, know a lot of y'all ain't going to be out of the theater singing rainbows and unicorns. Some of you are going to be doing a lot of slow singing and flower bringing. Because it's going to depress you. Because it's one of the most depressing fucking entries in the series. That's not even an argument. That's across the board. So good luck with that, Denny. But I hope Dune has immense success. Because I'd rather see this than McDonald's every day. Like I said, McDonald's, 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 McDonald's. It gets old after a while. Can't a brother have a little bit of Jack in the Box once in a while? I hate Arby's, but Wendy's, Burger King. Can I get a Rally's burger from my people in fucking California, especially in Fresno? Shit, McDonald's is overrated. The McDonald's white trash Walmart mentality. And that ain't just exclusively for white people, folks. There's black white trash, there's Mexican white trash, there's Asian white trash, so don't just think it's exclusively to you white folks. Now white trash has become a state of mind. So, and with that, we can move on to Night Swim. And I know people were expecting me, like, when that came out, a lot, especially people in my horror movie community, they're like, oh, he's going to bash this film. I can't really bash this film. It's not great. It's just average. It's not horrible. It's not the worst thing I've seen, especially in the last 5 years from horror. It really isn't. But it is uninspired. It is phoned in. Average. It's the movie that you know the drill. It's the movie you put on the background when you're diddling your girlfriend or you're giving your boyfriend a blowjob. You don't have to pay attention to, like, you literally don't. You can be on your phone and hearing it in the background and not pay attention to it. And by the end of the movie, you'll still know what it's about because it's that phoned in. There's no missing any context or any. The cast is fine. Kurt Russell's boy, Riot Russell, I think is his name, is in it. From what my mom said, she highly enjoyed it. Which I don't know how, but I mean, it's about as good as you can get from a possessed supernatural swimming pool. You know? It's The Conjuring in the pool. It's Paranormal Activity in the pool. Where you get quiet, 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 bang. That's, you know, the jump scare mentality. That's the whole movie. Quiet, quiet, bang. Quiet, quiet, bang. Quiet, 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 bang. It's like the kid that fucking has the pot and the spoon and just around the house, annoying the fuck out of people. That is annoying. But it can't be for, oh, this is the worst fucking movie ever seen. I can't stand it. Like, shut the fuck up. It's just average. And that's all there is about it. It's just average, middle of the road, horror fare. It does commit a major sin of, it's not scary. And I know, most films today, they're not scary. That's not the point. Horror is not even just a matter of trying to be scary. You've got to build some tension. You've got to have some bit of, and there's none of that in Night Swim. It's just average, middle of the road. Hey, this is your typical January movie, because it's out now for streaming, or not streaming, but to rent. It's on Vudu, Amazon, YouTube, all these, all where you can rent and buy, download digital fucking movies. It's out. If Apple, I'm sure, has it too, but it's out now, and I don't know what else there could be to say about it. There's just, it's average. Like I said, is it the worst film of all time? Is it the worst horror? No, it's not. Anyone that says that, you need to have your head examined, because not everything is set in stone and like that, in black and white and absolutes. All right, there's subtleties to this shit. However, it is average. And if they would have put some, any effort in to the script. Look, I'm not going to, I could have written a better script than this. I'm serious about a swimming pool. If you just put in some effort, that's all people are asking. No one's asking you to split the atom or do brain surgery or open heart. They're just asking you to put in fucking effort. It's like it's a stigma with Hollywood nowadays that effort is a bad word in Hollywood. It's absolutely like saying COVID on YouTube. It's a bad word. They treat creativity and attempting at trying like it's the N-word. Like you just don't say creativity. Like, or try at all. It's insane. And what's even insaner is us robots, yes, myself included, keep going to this shit so we can have entertainment. What's the point of having entertainment if it's entertainment that has no fucking value? And it means nothing at the end of the day. I've been on this rant before. Like I've said, we have a back catalog of immensely great films, great TV, great video games that you can still get a hold of with enough ingenuity and trying. We have tons of music. Excuse me. Tons of music to go back. These people that music sucks today. Somewhat. But even if that were true and all music still sucks today, what are you bitching about? We've had decades of great shit that is on Spotify, that is on Apple. You don't have to listen to modern music. So stop bitching about it. Fuck. Let's just let Hollywood die. And with that being said, we're gonna finish up with what is the poorest attempt at trying to be Twin Peaks and the X-Files combined with what is the new season of True Detective, Night Country. I will start off by giving high positives to not only Jodie Foster, who is good. She plays a bitch very well. And, you know, I like her. Let me make sure I'm getting this young lady's, but the other young lady's name right. I'm going to look this up. But she was a boxer. Her co-star is very good, too. She was a female boxer. Let's see if I can. I gotta do this on my iPhone because I can't. My computer's dead. It died right as I finished off that article, The Three Body Problems, so bear with me. Kelly Reyes, yeah, she's good. She, especially coming from the boxing world and sports world, where most, let's face it, these athletes can't act their way out of a wet fucking paper bag with a gun to their head. But she's fantastic. I liked her. And she's attractive. She knows her beats, which a lot of your trained actors don't even know. She has subtlety. I would love to see her in another project that's not this junk. Because it's boring. It's convoluted nonsense. It tries way, way too hard to be Twin Peaks and X-Files without actually putting in any of the effort that Chris Carter or David Lynch or Mark Frost put in to those series. There's not much I can say. I'm about to wrap this episode up because there's not much I can say about Night Country. It's boring. It's uninspired. And it seems just like Night Swim. It's phoned in. It tries hard to be this eerie, thought-provoking mystery. And it really isn't. Everything has led to absolutely nowhere. We're on the final episode as of this recording this Sunday. And it's one of those situations where everything has to be wrapped up all in one episode. And we're talking about an hour and 10-minute episode. And we're talking about a lot of plots that need to be wrapped up that should have already been wrapped up leading up to the reveal of the murder mystery, which is going to be supernatural. Because, yeah, True Detective's known for its Stephen King supernatural shit. And don't give me the season 2 where he got shot with buckshot and he went to the afterlife. That was one scenario where he was seeing his life flash before his eyes, and I think he was talking to his dad, but he didn't die. That was one scenario. And then the shit was, well, True Detective season 1, you know, it was really dark. Yes, it was dark and gothic. It wasn't super fucking natural like Night Swim or Paranormal Activity or The Conjuring or The Pope's Exorcist. There's no supernatural elements in True Detective. It's called True Detective. It's self-explanatory in the name. If you even have half a fucking brain inside your skull. I was so excited about this when I heard that, because I was like, I know that season 2 and season 3 are flawed, but I still am always excited to see a new detective mystery, and especially True Detective. Then I heard Nick Pasolato wasn't doing it at all in any, and I was like, that red flag's high. Then I saw Issa Lopez is doing it, and I was like, oh, that's another red flag, because she's a pretentious douchebag. One of the typical Hollywood liberals that can't get over. We're not even going to get into the political bullshit, but you know what kind of person she is. She's a fucking unbearable asshole. Quite frankly, I think both of your parties suck, Republicans and Democrats. You both should be shot in the head and buried in the sea so the country can progress forward. But that's a topic for another day. But she's one of those Hollywood liberals, and you get tired of hearing it. And, you know, white man bad. That drum hasn't been beat enough. Especially when you're dealing with native people in a cold country where it's always night. That's why it's called night country during the winter. There's no daylight. White man bad. There's a subplot of, you know, the natives going up against these mining workers, white men bad because they're polluting the environment, and they were there first because this was our land. And it's like, okay, that would be awesome if you knew how to write and you could execute a story properly, but it doesn't work. So we get what we get, and then it's always default back to white man bad. Which is a song that gets old hearing on the radio over and over and over and over and over again. Play a new fucking tune. So you got those elements, and then you got the supernatural elements, like this is fucking Stephen King's The Outsider. And it's like, who wrote this? Was it you, Issa, or was it really Stephen King or someone like Clive Barker or something? Because I'm getting very, very, like, you're trying your hardest to be a horror movie again. And it doesn't fit in the realm of True Detective. It just doesn't fit. It's sloppy, it's lazy, and it's boring. So, it's as boring as this review is getting, so I'm going to wrap it up. I'd say, oh, I didn't get my so I'm really slipping. Night Swim, my overall score, it's a 6 out of 10. And I know that seems a little high, but there's amusing parts throughout the movie, but it's not great, and it's not horrid. It's just something you put on in the background while you're finger-banging Mary Lou Rotten Crotch, and you're giving your blowjob to Billy. That's about it. True Detective is a D. It's a fucking D. So it's almost an F, but I can't say that because it's not finished yet. It'll be finished on Sunday. On the next episode, I'll give my full, not review, but I'll give my full grade, because we'll have seen the final episode, but so far, so bad. Like, I'm so glad Tokyo Vice is on right now and House of Ninjas. I'll be doing a review on those two on the next episode, because I'm getting through House of Ninjas, and so far, it started off slow, but it's not bad. But I'll get into in-depth on that. I should have Final Fantasy 16 beat by then. I'll have my full review on that. And we'll go into WrestleMania predictions. What I think should happen. Not that I'm the authority, but I want to see certain things happen. And we'll talk about the setup for Revolution, because AEW is really, really, really dropping the ball. So, and these we're going to start putting out more episodes quicker, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this. I'll say that right now. I don't know how much longer I'll be doing this, because they're changing the format on how to record these things, and there are a lot of hoops to jump through to get this put on Spotify and all the other places where this can be heard. So, and that comes in June. I just got the notification a week ago. That comes in June. So June 24th, if I'm not mistaken, they completely changed the format of how to record these fucking podcasts. So that's going to be a treat. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. June's a little way away, and I got some time now that I'm unemployed. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. So anyway, love you guys. I appreciate you taking your time out of your day to listen to this fucking idiot go on and on and on. It really helps. I like venting, especially about dumbass Hollywood. But anyway, I love you guys. Take care of yourselves. That's the most important thing. Be kind to each other, and peace. See you to the next one.